Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
The virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, the bulletin says this is a homily. A homily is actually just a fancy way of saying a short sermon. We've been here a little while now, and I'm going to try to take care of this in just a matter of minutes. We're going to talk today about Mary. And here you are in a Presbyterian church, and you're going to hear a sermon about Mary, and you're going to learn from Mary, the mother of our Lord. Now, even as I say that, I was reading this past week in a leading evangelical, a Christian magazine, an article titled, "Why I Love Mary." And for some of us, that might make us a little uncomfortable, especially because the article was from a leading Protestant pastor. But the more I thought about that, the more I thought he was right on target. I can love Mary. You can love Mary. She's the mother of our Lord. Why would we not love the mother of our Lord and honor her? Of course, we do not worship her, but we honor the mother of Jesus, and we even love her. You love your mama? I love mine. I certainly love the mother of my Lord Jesus. And there's much about her life that we can learn from. So in this brief homily, I'm going to share some things from the gospel today that can instruct us. First of all, who was this Mary? Well, we know this. There are six Marys mentioned in the New Testament. We know that this Mary was not an aristocrat. She was not a high society blue blood. She was most likely a simple teenager in her teens. Now, why do I say she was not aristocratic? Well, because she married, of all people, a carpenter, not exactly moving in high society circles. So Mary was betrothed to a carpenter. We know that, well, we really know nothing about her looks. Now, if you watch Hollywood movies about the life of Christ, you'll find that Mary typically is a very beautiful woman. And I like to think of the mother of our Lord as a beautiful woman, but the truth is nothing is said about how she looked in the Bible. About her son Jesus, we're told that he had no physical beauty. There was nothing outwardly about him that attracted us to him. His was the beauty of holiness. And the beauty of Mary, the mother of our Lord, her true beauty was inward, the beauty of holiness. What else do we know about Mary? We know she was humble. Why do I say that? Because Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, was sent by God to Mary, and he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, if Mary had been proud, full of vain glory, this never would have happened. Because the Bible says in James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Mary was graced of the Lord, highly favored of the Lord. Had she been proud and arrogant and a stuck-up society woman, God would not have come to her. But she was a humble young maiden. And the Lord declared about her, "You are highly favored." You see, in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. You want to advance in God's kingdom? In the world, you want to make a name for yourself. You want to puff yourself up and be someone special. But in the kingdom of God, it's just the opposite. The way up is down. Humility. And Mary, who was highly favored of the Lord, was humble. I remember a story about a very famous author. And he had in his office, he had a picture of a turtle. And the turtle was up on a fence post. And anytime this fella, who has made millions writing a book, Alex Haley, who wrote Roots, anytime this fella would start to think a little bit too much of himself, Alex Haley said he would look at the picture in his office of that turtle on the fence post. And he would remind himself that that turtle had help getting up on that fence post. And any time that we find ourselves getting a little too puffed up, look at what I've done, look how great I am, remind yourself of a turtle on a fence post. Turtles had a lot of help to get up there. And we who have been blessed of the Lord have to remind ourselves we had a whole lot of help getting where we are. Stay humble. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a humble woman. And the angel said to her, "You are highly favored." What else about Mary? Well, we are told that she said, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary had a servant's heart. Mary was eager to serve. The great evangelist D.L. Moody once said, "The measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves." We are called to be a servant people. This time of year, with all the lights, the trees, the incredible music, when I grow up, I want to sing like that. And when I grow up, I want to be able to play like that. But this season of the year, with all its finery, really is about servanthood. It's about the eternal God who came down here as a servant in the person of Jesus Christ. And he washed the feet of his disciples. He went around healing the sick, raising the dead, making a difference in the world as a servant of the Most High God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a servant's heart. She said, "I am the Lord's servant." Can I ask you today, are you known for your humility? Are you known for your servant's heart? One of the emphases here at First Presbyterian Church, and I have to confess something to you. I met a first-time visitor here this morning, and I don't know where my mind was at, but I said, "Welcome to First Baptist Church." I don't know why I'm even sharing that with you, but all that's to say, we here at First Presbyterian Church, as well as the good folks over at First Baptist Church, are a very mission-minded community. And we want to encourage all of our folks to get on board with at least one mission opportunity. There are more than a dozen, probably closer to 20 or more mission opportunities here in the life of First Presbyterian Church. And my hope and vision is that every member of this congregation will plug in, will become more of a servant. And many of you are actively serving the Lord and serving people. Let's keep that up. Let's begin to recruit even more and learn from Mary, the mother of Jesus, who said, "I am the Lord's servant." Let's be humble. Let's be servant-minded. Third, Mary was a woman of faith. She believed what the angel told her, and she said to Gabriel, "May it be to me as you have said." Let it be to me as you have said. Mary was the chosen one of the Lord God to bear the Messiah. She, who had never had any relations with a man, was going to conceive and bear a child, a boy named Jesus, whose name means Savior. And he would come into the world to save his people from their sins. And Mary, this humble, servant-minded young maiden, was going to conceive and bear a son. She said, full of faith, may it be to me as you have said. Oh, are you full of faith? Are you trusting in the Lord? Do you believe that God-given promises will meet every need in your life? That what God has said is true, and he means what he says, and he says what he means? God is up to something in this world. God's always been up to something in the world. And God, believe it or not, is up to something in your life, in mine, and in the life of this church. I believe the Lord is wanting to take this church to a new level of faith. It's easy to walk by sight. It's a little more harder to walk by faith. But nowhere in the Bible does God ever say he will bless people who walk by sight. We are told that God blesses those who walk by faith. For apart from faith or without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to get God's attention? You want to please him? Walk by faith and not by sight. Mary was walking by faith. How many of you ladies here today, if an angel of the Lord appeared to you and said, you're going to conceive and bear a son, and you're going to call him Jesus, I don't know how you would respond. I know how my wife would respond. Mary was full of faith and said, may it be to me as you have said. I trust you, Lord. Now, there are a whole lot of other things about Mary we can learn from, but today we're going to cut it short. This is a homily and not a sermon. What else can we learn from Mary? This is a season of hope. Mary had to be full of hope. After the angel told her these things, after God had favored her in this manner, imagine the next 9 months as that child, Jesus, is in her womb. And yes, God is with us. God became man in the person of Jesus. God became a fetus. God became an embryo. God came down here in embryonic form and grew within Mary and was eventually birthed into the world. God became a human being. God is with us. And there's much to learn about Mary. And the whole trajectory of her life was not herself. But she was looking forward to the birth of her son, the Savior of the world. And that is our focus this Christmas season, on Jesus. The mother gave birth to the son whom we worship. We love Mary. We honor her. But we especially love and honor and we worship her son Jesus, who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, my Roman Catholic friends regularly say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. To that I say, Amen. Amen to that. This highly favored young lady who gave birth to Messiah, truly she is full of grace. She is blessed among women, and the fruit of her womb, Jesus, is blessed indeed. He is why we are here. He is the focus of this season. I pray as you go into this Advent and Christmas season that Jesus Christ will be at the very heart of this season of the year. And let me be the very first to wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas. God bless you. And thank you, Lord, for Mary, the mother of Jesus, whom we love and honor, who points us to Christ, the Messiah. Would you bow your heads and hearts? Let's pray to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the sounds of the little children here today, for the reminder that our Lord Jesus became a baby and was born into the world and was an infant, was a child, grew into adulthood, was a teenager. Lord, you came down here in the person of Christ the Lord. And we thank you for our Lord's mother, for the lessons that we learn from her, and for the way her life pointed to her son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this special time of year. May we be full of faith. May we be servant-hearted. May we be humble and even full of hope as we long for the coming of Christ at the end of the age in great, great glory. In his precious name we pray, even as we say, Amen.
And now, here are some highlights from another recent message from Dr. Lucky.
I want to open my message by talking about a movie. Some of you have already heard about it. It's called The Elephant Man. You remember the film that came out in the 1980s? It was a powerful film. It was starring an English actor, John Hurt, I believe, and he portrayed Joseph Merrick. Now, Joseph Merrick, if you remember the movie, was called The Elephant Man. Why did they call him the Elephant Man? Because his body was disfigured by many tumors. His head was enlarged. He was unsightly. People looked at Joseph Merrick and they made fun of him. His life, can I say, was a living hell on earth. He was humiliated by people because he looked different. He was called the Elephant Man. But one man, a caring doctor, took Joseph Merrick into his heart and into his home. And he cared for Joseph. And he had compassion on him. And as the film progresses, you really identify with Joseph Merrick and you feel compassion for him. You want to jump up on the movie screen and somehow feel his pain and take it away. The movie is a beautiful picture of the compassion of Christ. Now, the doctor had compassion on the Elephant Man. As you watch the film, you feel pity for the Elephant Man. By the way, someone has defined compassion as pity that seeks to embrace. Pity that seeks to embrace someone. You want to feel their pain, and you want to take it away. You want to enter into their suffering and hurt. And despite Joseph Merrick's grotesque appearance, you want to embrace him. You want to hug him and tell him he is loved. Now, I thought of the Elephant Man as I prepared my message because it occurred to me that, like Joseph Merrick, all of us are elephant people. We are disfigured. We are unsightly and grotesque. And we are in need of divine compassion. Now, I look upon a church of a lot of beautiful people, and I don't see people who are ugly outwardly. But the truth is, many of us, in fact, all of us at one time, were grotesque and disfigured by sin. But the caring doctor, the physician of our souls, did something about it. Jesus had compassion on elephant people like you and me. Now, we've all been created in the image of God. But because of sin, the image inside of each one of us has been messed up. It's been marred. It's been disfigured. And the image of God is now grotesque and ugly. But the Lord did not leave us in our spiritual ugliness. The grace of God was poured out upon us through Jesus Christ. And we who were once elephant people are now the redeemed of the Lord. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. All because of His compassionate mercy and His grace. We live in a time when our culture places so much emphasis on outward appearances. We came to church today. My guess is most of us spent some time in front of the mirror. We wanted to make sure we looked right. And our socks matched. Don't look too closely at mine. They're mismatched today. How many of us know the Bible says that people look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart? God is more concerned about your heart. He's more concerned about my heart than my mismatched socks. And yet, despite all of our ugliness, God loves us. He has compassion on us. And the marvel of grace is that God loves people despite their spiritual deformity. He has demonstrated the amazing love that our young people sang about, the amazing love poured out at the cross of Christ. And Jesus is compassion and mercy made visible. You want to know what true compassion looks like? You look at Jesus, who is compassion in the flesh. Now look again at Matthew 9:35. There Matthew tells us that Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Note, he went through all of them. He went through the rich towns. He went through the poor towns. He ministered to all kinds of people, to the famous and the not so famous. He ministered to fishermen to tax collectors. In our day and age, he'd be out there in the IRS office. He ministered to prostitutes. He ministered to all kinds of people. And the people that we often overlook, Jesus did not overlook. He had compassion on all kinds of people, and he went through all kinds of towns and villages. And what did he do? Matthew tells us in our text three things. You know, Jesus had a threefold ministry when he walked the earth. He came teaching, he came preaching, and he came healing. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Now, what did he preach and teach about? Primarily, he had one message, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God Almighty. He talked about it, and he demonstrated it as he healed the sick. And it occurs to me, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's a potentially dangerous prayer. Do you know why? Think about it. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's Jesus' language. Jesus came preaching and teaching about the kingdom. And we who are the followers of Jesus pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then when God answers that prayer and says, "Okay, I will do my will in your life and in your church," we may find ourselves wanting to take that prayer back. We may get a little uncomfortable. And we may want to go back to the way we've always done things before. But if we are serious about God's kingdom and God's rule being done in our lives and in our church, it may well be that we need to go into all the villages. We need to minister to all kinds of people as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so Jesus came teaching and preaching the good news about God's kingdom. And what else did he do? Matthew said that Jesus healed people. In fact, our text says that Jesus healed every disease and sickness, and he did that out of his compassion. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 41, we read that Jesus was once approached by a man who had leprosy, just like Matthew, who came down a little while ago. And when that leper would come into the realm of other people, they would back off and he would shout, "Unclean, unclean," and they would stay away. But Jesus did not stay away. Mark writes in his gospel that Jesus was filled with compassion and he reached out his hand and he healed the man. I love the picture on our screen of Jesus in conversation with that leper. And one of the pictures that comes after that one that I saw shows Jesus reaching out and touching the man. And with wide-eyed wonder, the leper looks up at Jesus with a look of wonder and thanksgiving. Jesus was filled with compassion. And in our text, he saw a crowd of people. And Matthew writes that he had compassion on them because they were helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. How many of us here know that the Lord is still healing, still showing compassion on elephant people? People like you and me. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." If he had compassion long ago, guess what? He still has it today. He's still reaching out and touching lives, all kinds of lives. People who look like us and people who don't look like us. Rich and poor. Gators and Seminoles. Republicans and Democrats. Americans and Chinese. You name it. Jesus has a heart for people. And the labels that often keep us away, the Lord looks past. He looks at the heart. And he has compassion and mercy and love. By the way, in the Old Testament, the word for compassion has the same root meaning as the word for womb, a mother's womb. Just as a mother cares for her child and nurtures her child and protects her child, Jesus nurtures and protects and cares. And in the New Testament, the word for compassion refers not so much to the womb, but get this, to the intestines. to the guts. We say today, my heart goes out to someone. Back then, my guts go out to them. Why? Because for the ancient peoples, the seat of the emotions was there in the bowels, in the intestines, in your guts. And they conceived of your emotions coming forth from your very insides. And so Jesus, his heart went out, his insides went out for people. He loved, he cared, he had compassion. My friend, he knows what you're going through. He knows your sickness. He knows your loneliness. He knows your discouragement and your depression. And he has compassion on you because he has not changed. He is the same Lord yesterday, today, and forever. And you need to hear that. I need to hear that repeatedly and powerfully. In verse 36 of our gospel reading, Matthew writes, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Have you ever felt harassed in life? You ever felt helpless in life? Well, you can know that you have a good shepherd who loves his sheep even when they're harassed and helpless, especially when they are harassed and helpless. So many people think of God as an angry tyrant up there in heaven with a hammer in his hand, just waiting to strike people down when they disappoint him. And we need to be reminded that God is not only holy and just, but he is also loving and merciful. My friend, there is not one ounce of condemnation for you if you are in Christ. The Father's not waiting for his hammer, just waiting for you to smile or have a good time in life or just waiting to lower the hammer on you. He is a compassionate Lord who loves elephant people like you and me. Now, James 5:11 says, the Lord is full of compassion. His heart is full. His insides are full of mercy and compassion. And I wonder if you can think of some ways in your life that the Lord has shown his compassion to you. I have only to think of the cross and what happened there 2,000 years ago when the Son of Man was crucified for me, for you, when his lifeblood poured out to forgive us of our sins. If that is not compassion, I don't know what is. And you loved us, you died for us, you rose from the dead for us, and you've changed our lives forevermore. And God, we who have been changed, may you compel us to go forth in the power of your Spirit and with the love of Jesus to change our world and our neighborhoods and our city and our churches. For Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.